Welcome. Today we're diving into an injury that many people have heard of but may not fully understand: meniscal tears. We'll break it down in a way that's easy to follow, whether you're a patient, a caregiver, or just someone curious to learn more. The information shared in this deep dive comes from orthoeducation.com, a free, high-quality resource designed to help patients better understand musculoskeletal conditions. Please remember, this deep dive is for general educational purposes only. If you're dealing with an injury or have concerns about your health, be sure to consult a trained healthcare professional. All right, let's get into it. You know, a meniscal tear is incredibly common, hitting everyone from a professional athlete to someone who just twists their knee wrong stepping off a curb. Our goal today is really to cut through the complexity and give you the essential insights you need. What a meniscal tear actually is, why it's such a frequent problem, and what the path to recovery often looks like. Oh, yeah, let's unpack this then. At its core, what exactly are we talking about when we say meniscal tear?
Our sources tell us it's a common knee injury, where the cartilage in your knee, specifically the meniscus, gets torn. And it's meniscus. It's like a crucial shock absorber, right? Nestled between your thigh bone, the femur, and your shin bone, the tibia.
Precisely. And what's often surprising is how a seemingly simple movement can lead to such a significant injury. These tears typically occur during sports or activities involving a sudden twisting or turning motion, especially if your foot is planted. You know, think of a quick pivot in basketball or soccer. But it's not always a sudden thing. We also see degenerative tears, which are more about natural wear and tear over time, often affecting older adults. When a tear happens, you're usually looking at pain, swelling, stiffness, and sometimes a really distinct feeling like your knee is catching or maybe even locking up.
Yeah, that catching sensation really makes you wonder what's going on inside there, doesn't it? So to truly appreciate how impactful these tears are, we probably need to understand a bit about the knee itself, the anatomy, what's inside that joint that makes this cartilage so crucial.
Absolutely. The knee joint is basically where the femur, tibia, and your kneecap, the patella, all meet. And within that joint, you have these two vital C-shaped pieces of cartilage. These are your menisci. There's one on the inside, that's the medial meniscus, and the other on the outside, the lateral meniscus. And they aren't just simple cushions. They're actually pretty dynamic structures. They act as primary shock absorbers, distributing about half your body weight evenly across the joint when you walk. Plus, they protect the bones from grinding against each other and help stabilize the knee during movement. So, yeah. Damaging them can have a pretty profound effect on your mobility.
Okay, so it's clearly not just one single type of tear, right? This is where it gets interesting, I think. What truly sets these injuries apart are the types of tears themselves and how they impact treatment. I understand they're categorized by shape, location, and severity.
That's exactly right. And understanding these types is really key to grasping the specific symptoms and the potential treatment paths. For instance, you might have a horizontal tear that splits the meniscus into an upper and lower section. Then there's the longitudinal tear. This one runs along its length, sort of parallel to the curved edge. A particular concern with this type is that it can actually progress into something more severe, what we call a bucket handle tear. And a radial tear, that one starts at the inner edge and extends outwards. This type often significantly impairs the meniscus's shock absorption ability, which can lead to joint instability. And you mentioned the bucket handle tear. That's a pretty severe longitudinal tear where a piece of the meniscus literally flips over into the knee joint. It often causes the knee to lock, making it really difficult, sometimes impossible, to fully straighten the leg.
Wow, that sounds pretty dramatic.
It can be. Then we also see flap tears. That's where a small piece tears off and creates a loose flap that can get caught in the joint. That leads to pain and that classic catching sensation we talked about. And then there are degenerative tears. These are more the result of cumulative wear and tear, very common in older adults. The meniscus just becomes frayed and less resilient over time. Finally, a complex tear is just what it sounds like, a combination of different tear patterns. We often see these in older folks with, you know, existing degenerative changes in the meniscus.
That's quite a range of patterns. And you mentioned location before. It seems like where the tear happens within the meniscus is also crucial. What's the significance of this red zone versus white zone I've read about? How does that affect healing?
Yes, that's a critical distinction. It's all about blood supply. The meniscus has two main regions. The red zone is the outer edge, maybe the outer third, and it has a pretty good blood supply. This means tears in this region generally have a better chance to heal either on their own or with a surgical repair. In contrast, the white zone is the inner part, the inner two-thirds. It has very little blood supply, so tears here are much less likely to heal. Treatment often involves trimming or removing the damaged portion rather than trying to stitch it back together. So yeah, the location can really dictate the entire treatment approach.
Okay, that makes sense. So if someone suspects they have a tear, what's the diagnostic process like? What's the detective work involved? How do doctors figure this out?
Well, it's a pretty systematic approach. It always starts with the patient's history. You know, what are your symptoms? How exactly did the injury happen? When did it start? Then comes the physical exam. The doctor will check for tenderness, swelling, and look at your range of motion. They'll often perform specific tests, like bending and twisting the knee gently, to see if certain movements reproduce the pain or catching. That helps pinpoint the problem area.
Any imaging involved?
Yes, usually. X-rays are typically done first, mainly to rule out other problems like fractures or significant arthritis. But when it comes to actually confirming a meniscal tear and seeing the details, an MRI is really the gold standard.
Right, the MRI. Why is that so crucial here?
Because it gives incredibly detailed pictures of the soft tissues, including the cartilage, ligaments, and the meniscae themselves. It allows doctors to see the tear, its specific pattern, like those types we just discussed, and its exact location, whether it's in the red zone or white zone. And all that information, as we've seen, is absolutely vital for planning the right treatment.
Okay. You touched on acute versus degenerative tears earlier. Could you help us really nail down the differences between those two? It sounds like their origins and maybe even their treatment implications are quite different.
They absolutely are distinct, yes. Acute meniscal tears, these are typically what you see in younger, more active people. They often happen because of a specific event, like a sudden, forceful twist or turn of the knee during sports. You plant your foot, you pivot hard, and pop. The onset of pain and swelling is usually pretty immediate and sharp. Think of that basketball player scenario again.
Got it. And degenerative tears.
Degenerative meniscal tears are different. They're common in older adults and tend to develop gradually. It's more about the wear and tear that comes with aging. The meniscus tissue just gets weaker, maybe a bit frayed over time. These tears aren't always linked to a single injury event, and they're frequently seen alongside osteoarthritis, which is that condition where the smooth, articular cartilage covering the ends of the bones wears down. So the key takeaway is that the way the injury happens and the patient's age often tell us a lot about the nature of the tear itself and, importantly, how it might respond to treatment.
Right. So putting it all together, what does this actually mean for someone facing a meniscal tear? What are the treatment options and how do doctors decide which way to go?
Well, the treatment approach is highly individualized, as you might expect. It really depends on the tear type, its size and location, the severity of symptoms, the patient's age, their activity level, and the overall health of their knee, including whether there's arthritis present. For smaller, stable tears, especially those in the well-vascularized red zone, or sometimes even degenerative tears that aren't causing major mechanical symptoms like locking, conservative treatment is often the first step.
And conservative means?
It typically includes the RICE protocol, that's rest, ice, compression, and elevation, mainly to manage the acute pain and swelling. But beyond that initial phase, physical therapy is really key. It helps strengthen the muscles around the knee, like the quadriceps and hamstrings, which provides better support and stability. Pain relief medications, like over-the-counter anti-inflammatories, can also help manage discomfort. It's important to note, though, that while RICE helps with symptoms, it doesn't actually heal the tear itself. It's more about managing the situation while the body, potentially with PT, adapts.
Okay, and what if conservative treatment isn't enough, or if the tear is more severe?
Right. For tears that cause persistent mechanical symptoms like that catching or locking, or for larger unstable tears, particularly in younger active people, surgical intervention is often recommended. These days, these surgeries are almost always done arthroscopically. That means using small incisions and a tiny camera, which is less invasive.
And what happens during the surgery?
The most common procedure is a partial meniscectomy. This involves carefully trimming away and removing only the damaged, unstable part of the meniscus, leaving the healthy portion intact. The goal is to smooth out the edges and remove the tissue that's causing the problem. Less commonly, especially for certain types of large tears in the red zone in younger patients, a meniscus repair might be possible. This involves actually stitching the torn edges of the meniscus back together to encourage healing.
But that sounds like a longer recovery.
Definitely. A meniscus repair requires a much more significant post-surgery recovery period. You'd need to protect the knee, often with restricted weight-bearing and bracing, for many weeks, sometimes months, to allow the tissue time to heal properly. It's a bigger commitment.
So the prognosis really varies, then?
It really does. This highlights that not all tears are created equal, and neither are all treatments. Generally speaking, younger patients with a small acute traumatic tear, particularly if it's repairable and there isn't much other knee damage like arthritis, tend to have very good outcomes after surgery. However, for older patients with degenerative meniscal tears, especially when there's already significant osteoarthritis, that cartilage wear on the bone surfaces, the outcomes of surgery, particularly just trimming the meniscus, tend to be less predictable, less favorable. Sometimes the pain relief isn't as complete or long-lasting because the underlying arthritis is also contributing to the symptoms. It's a key distinction when considering options.
Okay, that's really helpful context. And as we move toward wrapping up, just a reminder, we have been talking about meniscal tears based on information from the knee education section of the free and peer-reviewed patient education website, OrthoEducation, at www.orthoeducation.com. So as we wrap up this deep dive, it's really clear that while meniscal tears are incredibly common, their paths to healing, they can be quite different, depending heavily on how and why they occurred in the first place. And this really leads us to, I think, an important question to ponder.
Yeah, absolutely. Consider this. We've discussed how degenerative tears, the ones that often come with age and general wear and tear, frequently don't respond as well to the surgical interventions that are designed to, you know, fix a specific tear. So what does this imply about our broader understanding of joint health as we get older? It suggests that for many people, maybe the focus needs to shift a bit. Instead of just zeroing in on repairing an isolated injury, perhaps we need a more holistic approach. One that focuses on managing the complex, age-related changes happening in the entire joint, including arthritis. It's kind of a powerful reminder, isn't it, that sometimes the simple fix isn't necessarily the best answer, or even the answer, for what might be a more complex chronic condition related to aging. Something to think about.
We have just discussed meniscal tears based on information from the free, easy-to-understand patient education website, OrthoEducation, available at www.orthoeducation.com. Please remember, this deep dive is for general educational purposes only. If you're dealing with an injury or have concerns about your health, be sure to consult a trained healthcare professional. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive today. We really hope you feel a little more well-informed or perhaps even a bit more curious about the incredible mechanics of the human body. Keep exploring.